Hazard Audio.
This week, Steve Gross is back alongside Matt Yost, standing in for Matt Axelrod as the duo get into Major League Baseball, the NFL, college football, that on top of sports madness and the Tweet Zone. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it, because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross. Filling in for Matt Axelrod this week, we've got the guest host with the most. It's Matt Yost.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me back. Good to be here.
Go find us on Twitter. We're at The Sports Appeal. We love interacting with you guys on there. And if you're an iTunes subscriber, go leave us a review. It really helps us out a ton when you do that. All the music on the show is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band. You can get all their stuff on iTunes or Spotify or their YouTube channel. As always, produced by Johnny Five.
And powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we've got some football, as we always do. We got sports madness. We got some good picks. A bold prediction from Matt Yost. But first, let's start with the baseball playoffs. Today is Back to the Future Day. Back to the Future predicted the Cubs would win the World Series this year. Doesn't look like it's going to happen right now, Matty.
No, it really hasn't gone their way. I think the Mets just came in and steamrolled them.
The Mets are up 3-0 as of recording, but the Mets pitching has really been the story here. They've completely shut down the Cubs hitters, regardless of the weather. That was the big deal everybody was making before Game 3. The weather's going to be nicer, so the Cubs hitters are going to be better. Didn't really pan out that way.
That's the biggest surprise, because the Cubs bats were on fire at the end of the season, on fire against the Pirates, and on fire against the Cardinals.
On fire.
All of a sudden, they've gone silent. DeGrom, Harvey, and Syndergaard just came in and showed they are the best trio of pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Their ERA in the series is 2.21 collectively. They have 25 strikeouts and 4 walks. I don't care who you are. It's hard to hit talent like that.
The real weakness of the Mets pitching staff was their bullpen going into the playoffs, and it's been night and day from the NLDS to the NLCS. The Mets bullpen in the NLDS gave up 7 runs in 14 and two-thirds innings. In 6 innings in the NLCS, they have not allowed a single run.
Yeah, they've been really, really good. The Mets have been hitting. They've been pitching. All of a sudden, they're stealing bases. Daniel Bleeping Murphy is on a roll. The Cubs are in a big hole here. They're down 3-0. They're going to have to come back. I don't think they could do it. It's only been done one other time. 2004 Red Sox, led by Theo Epstein, just like these Cubs. Really don't see it happening.
No, I don't either. It seems meant to be, but the curse of the Cubs is just too strong. They're not coming back from this one.
All right, let's move on to the ALCS, where the Kansas City Royals are playing that Toronto baseball team, whose name I do not mention. Royals are up 3-2 right now. Toronto just won a game to avoid elimination. The Royals were a really popular pick as a regression team this year, but they've just flat out been a really good team all season.
I was on board for KC having a big letdown year.
Me too.
Their pitching has really held up their end of the bargain, and that was the weakness for me coming into the season, was can their starting pitching get them through a 5-game series, a 7-game series? And Johnny Cueto's been good. Edison Volquez has been good.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're hitting in the ALCS. They're hitting .331 as a team. That's insane. Alcides Escobar hitting .600. And Lorenzo Cain on a 13-game postseason hitting streak. Their bats are really, really hot.
The number of runs scored in that series by both teams is astounding. Yeah. I mean, 11 runs the game yesterday, 14 runs the game before. It's mind-numbing because these are two pitching staffs that have legitimate aces 1-3.
But the Toronto bullpen has been absolutely getting smoked in this series. LaTroy Hawkins is seeing the field entirely too much.
LaTroy Hawkins should not be on a postseason bullpen roster.
Yeah, I was shocked that he made the roster. There was an awesome tweet by Dan Le Batard. He said, the Blue Jays can actually rally to win this game if they can figure out a way to face their own bullpen. So that tells you just how horrid their bullpen has been, and Kansas City has really taken it to them.
It also tells you Dan Le Batard is clearly not on board with the Toronto team.
Absolutely. They really keep it classy up there in Toronto. Did you see all the garbage being thrown at the stadium the other day?
I want to say I didn't expect it. But knowing a little bit about Toronto fans from my beloved Bills playing a few games there over the last few years, this is right up their alley. When you're talking about worst sports fans, period, you start with Philadelphia.
Yes.
You end with English Premier League football fans, hooligans. But right there hitting the sweet spot in the middle are Toronto Blue Jays fans.
Oh,
forgive me for saying Blue Jays.
It's all right, man. They've drank a lot of Labatt Blue up there. There were beer cans flying all over the stadium. The Rogers Center management came out and said, we didn't expect this. We never saw this coming with beer cans flying around. we're going to have to re-examine our beer can policy. Really? You didn't see this coming? Come on.
Look, I'm one to knock back a few blues in my day. Yeah, I mean, not only to not have an effective policy on board for preventing this kind of problem, during the incident, Blue Jays management did absolutely nothing to stop it. No announcement over the intercom, no additional security until well into the deluge of beer cans onto the field. The only people trying to stop this were the Toronto players pleading with their fans not to barrage the fans in the lower deck with a absolute hailstorm of blue.
It was fantastic. The series has been really entertaining for a lot of reasons. Toronto winning again today makes the series even more entertaining. I still expect the Royals to move on, but it's at least a series now. And I think you and I both expect the Mets to move past the Cubs, so we could see a really fun Mets-Royals World Series. Two tortured fan bases. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's leading up to a great World Series, whoever ends up advancing.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we've got some NFL stuff, and we're going to do the Tweet Zone. Be right back.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. Let's get right into it. Johnny Five, Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Kicking off the Tweet Zone is an original tweet at the Sports Appeal saying, "You can't stop Daniel Murphy. You can only hope to contain him." To which at @nfrisco replied, "Yeah, I can't find where it says his comp is Ted Williams. This can't continue."
Except it did continue, because we tweeted this after he went his fourth straight game with a home run. And then the following game, he did it again. This guy is unbelievable.
Daniel Iron Horse Murphy, they're calling him now.
Oh no, the Lou Gehrig nickname. How dare you?
If the shoe fits, you wear it, right?
Absolutely. They asked Daniel Murphy about this, and he just thanked God. He said, "I don't really know. I'm not a power hitter." And he thanked our guy, Kevin Long, for turning around his power game. As Yankees fans, that stings a little bit.
It hurts real deep, Steve. Real deep. And obviously, Danny Murphy is not Lou Gehrig, and he's not Ted Williams. This is the type of story that Major League Baseball feeds off of consistently throughout the years in their playoffs, are these Danny Murphys getting hot and just going on a tear, and all of a sudden, you have the next Mr. October or Mr. November, except for that other team in New York, not the Yankees.
I liked what David Wright said about it. He said Murphy should have done the Michael Jordan shoulder shrug after his fifth home run because he was in Chicago rounding the bases. That would have been a nice little middle finger to the Cubs fans.
That would have been hilarious.
Next tweet coming to us from at @gham614. "I'm taking the Jets to upset the Patriots this week."
Woo! I mean, it's possible. I don't know if I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they're going to win the game, but I do think it's going to be a really close game. The Jets' offense has been adequate. Their defense has been really, really good. Patriots' offense has been even better, but their defense I've got some questions about, so it's definitely possible.
This was almost my bold prediction, Steve, because if there is a definition trap game, this is it. New England is heavily favored. They're at home, and well, everybody is hyping up Tom Brady, hyping up the New England Patriots, saying they're just going to roll through the league 19-0. I believe if there's one team that is built to beat the New England Patriots right now, it is the New York Jets. They have the offensive game plan to do it. Chan Gailey had the right formula for beating the Patriots when he was in Buffalo, and he's installed the same offense over in New York. And that defense is obviously solid. Yeah, the Jets have a legitimate shot at taking New England.
Well, like you said, they've got the formula to beating Tom Brady. They have the number one rushing attack in football, keep the ball out of his hands, and they have the number one defense in football. So it's going to be a really fun game.
And our last tweet, at Jeffrey R. Horn. "The Broncos should be going with Hillman. Anderson just hasn't looked good since the preseason."
Fuck C.J. Anderson. Every single week, I have to decide, do I start C.J. Anderson or do I start Ronnie Hillman? They're on a bye this week, but next week is finally the week where I just say, forget C.J. Anderson. It is Ronnie Hillman. His time to shine.
I'm with you, buddy. We both have the same problem. We're in a couple different leagues together. In one league, you have Anderson and Hillman. In the other league, I have Anderson and Hillman. And it is just terrible. I can't stand it. I'm going to have both of them benched. This past week, I benched both in favor of Ryan freaking Matthews, if you could believe that. I don't know what to do with either of these guys. It's frustrating. They should just put Juwan Thompson in there or something.
CJ Anderson says bench me. Wish granted, your bench, sir.
That's true. He did say that. So that wraps up the tweet zone. Find us on Twitter at The Sports Appeal. Send us your tweets for next week, and we will get you on the show. Let's move right on to some NFL stuff. Let's talk about this Golden Tate thing that's going on. It was a catch that wasn't a catch. He might be the best wide receiver in the NFL because he didn't even catch the ball. Somebody else caught the ball, and he still managed to catch the ball.
How this is a touchdown catch is beyond me. The rules say you have to take 3 steps or make 1 affirmative football move after you receive the ball. I don't see how you can watch that film and believe that he took either one of those, either 3 steps or had an affirmative football move. He catches the ball, he lands, and the ball's knocked out of his hands and right into the defensive back's arms.
I was traveling on Sunday, so I didn't see much football live. But when I landed, I pulled up Twitter. Everyone was on fire about this thing. So I watched the play, and I couldn't believe it. I was aghast. Really? That's a touchdown? The Bears defender came down with the ball in the end zone. They're saying it's a touchdown. How is Golden Tate always on the right side of these calls?
Even Calvin Johnson isn't sure it's a catch. Calvin Johnson said, I thought I understood the rule, but I don't think anybody does know. But I'm glad it's a touchdown. That's all I can say.
Well, I mean, Calvin did get screwed a couple weeks ago against Seattle. They're a whole different story. God, what a mess Seattle is. But yeah, the Lions are always involved in these calls. They should just give Golden Tate the ball near the gold mine all the time because it seems like he's getting all those calls.
Apparently. I guess the closest analogy, right, is a fumble at the goal line. If you're running across the goal line, a running back, and he reaches his hands out and he extends the ball over the line and then someone knocks it out, that's a touchdown, right?
Right, absolutely. And that's the big difference here is if he would have caught the ball already in the end zone, they would have said no catch because he didn't complete the catch all the way to the ground. But because they ruled he caught it before the end zone, then you just have to cross the goal line, and the second you cross the goal line, the play is over. Touchdown is good. Before we move into our picks against the spread for the week, Matt, I just want to do a real quick exercise with you. Let's start with your Buffalo Bills. Yes or no? Are they good?
Hell yes.
All right. Pittsburgh.
No.
No.
Awful.
Wow, that's surprising to me. Philadelphia Eagles.
Terrible team.
New York Giants.
Good team.
I agree on both of those. Minnesota.
Bad team, weak division, potential wild card.
I think that's fair. Two more. Arizona.
Great team.
Great team.
Super Bowl, one of my Super Bowl favorites right now.
Interesting. I think they're good, not great. St. Louis, last one.
I have no idea.
I don't either. I don't know what to expect from
that
them.
That team should be bad. I mean, it really should be bad. Great defense, but the defense isn't actually getting turnovers. They're just playing.
Just holding.
Yeah, people. They're just playing bend but don't break, right?
Right, pretty much. But now with Todd Gurley, we can see the offense turn around a little bit. Tavon Austin's starting to catch fire a little bit. They could be a good team, or they could stay.
Yeah. Kenny Britt, Stedman Bailey. I mean, someone has to step up and actually be a legit receiver before I'm buying into the St. Louis Rams in the division with Richard Sherman and the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm glad you said somebody needs to step up because I thought you were saying Kenny Britt with a straight face. Like, that was a reason that they're good. So I'm glad you saved yourself on that one. So continuing with NFL, let's just go over to our against the spread picks for the week. Last week, our guest John Adams came in here talking some noise about my picks from the previous week. I went 1-2. He didn't think that was too good. He proceeded to make his picks and go 0-2-1. So he didn't get any games right. He got one push. You know, I guess we'll give him credit for that. Axelrod joined him on getting on me for my picks. But guess what? For the season, I am 9-6, which is pretty damn good. Axelrod is 7-8, below 500. And he probably also didn't tell you guys he lost in fantasy football to my wife. So, with that, Matt Yost, our guest for the week, we're going to let you pick first. Our two guests so far are combined 0-5-1. We need you to get a win here.
Yeah, sounds like I don't have a lot to live up to. All right, so game number one, I'm going with the Jets +9 against New England.
Love it.
The Jets have a good chance to win this game outright. I think a 9-point spread is insane for a divisional rivalry game, and I believe the Jets cover this one, if not win outright.
I've said it on the show before, big spreads in the NFL don't cover that often. They have been this year, but usually they don't. The Jets have a good defense, so 9 points is a lot for that game. I'm glad you took it because I don't bet on the Jets, so I couldn't do it. My first game, I can't take the Jets, so I'll take the Giants. New York Giants -3.5 at home against Matt. I believe it's Cassell. Is that how you say it?
In Buffalo, we call him Matt Castle, okay. But yeah.
All right, yeah. Matt Castle starting for the Cowboys. 3.5 points? Really? Seems like a slam dunk to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the Giants are good unless Dez suddenly pulls one out of thin air and manages to, you know, regrow a leg this week. The Giants are heavily favored, in my opinion, to win this game, and 3.5 points would be an easy lay for me.
Totally.
Game number two for me, I have Atlanta smashing Tennessee covering easily. No Marcus Mariota, no running game to speak of. Falcons are going to cover that 6-point spread.
Falcons have been struggling a little bit the past couple weeks. This could be what they need to get back on track. My second pick, I'm going with the Raiders. This is the third time I've picked them. I'm 1-1 so far. They're getting 4 points in San Diego. I don't believe in the Chargers. I'm starting to buy into the Raiders a little bit. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, Latavius Murray. They've got some good pieces moving forward. The defense isn't bad. Charles Woodson all of a sudden looks like he's 25 years old. So I'll take the Raiders +4 at San Diego.
Yeah, I think that's a smart pick. This is an interesting game. The consensus logic is that San Diego wins by a long shot. But I believe in the Oakland Raiders. And San Diego with no Melvin Gordon, he went from perfectly healthy to probably not going to play within like a day of practice. I'm buying on the Oakland Raiders.
And then for our last game, we're actually going head to head on this one. It's the Browns at the Rams. You're going to take the Browns +6. I'm going to take the Rams laying 6. Admittedly, kind of a big spread, but I'm on the Todd Gurley train, man.
Give me all them points. 6 points is a huge spread, and St. Louis does not have an offense to speak of. I know Todd Gurley has come on pretty strong the last couple of weeks, and Cleveland's running defense is atrocious, but Josh McCown has been slinging the ball all over the place. They have a three-headed mini-monster of a running game right
Please.
Now.
Oh my God, the running game is not good. Josh McCown has been good, but this Rams defense is going to sack him at least 6 times. It's not going to be pretty. Probably going to get a concussion again, and we're going to get to see Johnny Clipboard in there backing up Josh McCown. So give me the Rams -6 against the terrible Cleveland Browns all day long.
Steve, you're putting way too much faith in Nick Foles and Stedman Bailey and Tavon Austin and Kenny Britt. Come on now. Browns and 6.
All right, that wraps it up for this segment. When we come back, we're going to talk some college football, Michigan, Michigan State. That was a crazy ending. And sports madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
And we are back. Let's talk some college football. Yost, this Wolverine-Spartans game on Saturday was nuts. Michigan had a ton of chances to put away, and then with 10 seconds left in the game, this happens.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Brady Hoke, of all people, said it best about this game. In no way whatsoever would I be punting up 23-21 with 5 seconds left in the game. Snap the ball to a running back, have him run in a circle for 5 seconds, and take a knee.
It's the old Madden play that we've all done 1,000 times.
Spin move, spin move, spin move.
Don't run out of bounds, don't get tackled in the end zone, and you're good. That's all you have to do. You know, I understand the punting call a little bit. That being said, I don't hate the punt call. I get it. There's 10 seconds left. Just punt the ball way down the field as far as you can. Make him throw a Hail Mary all the way down the field. Fine. I feel so bad for this punter. The snap hit him right in the hands and he dropped it. And they picked it up and his Aussie rules football instincts kicked in. And he tried to lateral it like over his shoulder, like he was throwing salt over his shoulder. And it just turned really bad. Michigan State scoop and score for the win.
Awful. Michigan basically handed Sparty a spot in the Big Ten championship game. Even more awful, this poor kid is getting death threats.
That is crazy. I mean, I know fans are passionate, especially in Ann Arbor, but just death threats for a kid? He's like 19 years old. This is insane. Absolutely insane. Michigan, they have 2 losses now, so this game might have cost them a shot at the college football playoff. So I can understand fans being upset about it, but death threats is way over the line. I don't even know what else to say about that. Let's talk about Michigan State. 4 of their 7 wins this season are by a touchdown or less. They've fallen from number 2 to number 7 while remaining undefeated. They haven't lost at all, but they keep falling in the polls, and they've got Indiana coming to town this week. They've proven to be a pesky team. They gave Ohio State fits. So we'll see if Sparty continues this trend of just barely winning games.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head when you said they are still undefeated.
Right.
And that's all that matters in college football. For Sparty, all they got to do is beat Ohio State, and they're going to the college football playoffs.
Going undefeated isn't all that matters. Going undefeated in a Power 5 conference is what matters, because going undefeated in Conference USA is going to do you no good.
Are you saying my University of Houston Cougars of the American Athletic Conference are not going to the college football playoffs, Steve?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. If there is one conference outside the Power Five that could do it, it's the AAC. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Go Cougs.
But yeah, like you were saying about Michigan State, if they keep winning games by 3 points, where's that going to get them? To the national championship.
Yeah, while we're on the subject for college football, I'm going to jump in here and give you my bold prediction for the week.
Ooh. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
My bold prediction is the Big 12 is once again going to miss out on the college football playoffs.
Really?
No doubt. Here's how this plays out. Baylor's going to lose to TCU. TCU is going to lose one of these games either to Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, or they might even slip up and lose one to Iowa State. Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State, all currently undefeated, all have to play each other before this is all said and done, and they have no championship game. That is a recipe for disaster. No Big 12 team in the college football playoffs this year. If you look around, if you look at the college football landscape, you basically have this going ACC champion going to the playoffs, SEC champion going to the playoffs, Big Ten champion going to the playoffs, and nobody is talking about Utah. Utah has some big wins, and they're still undefeated, and they have nobody left.
That's a great point. However, if Baylor goes undefeated, I mean, they've been just crushing people. Their schedule hasn't been great thus far, but they have been absolutely destroying people, putting up 600 yards of offense. They're averaging 63 points a game. So if they could go undefeated and keep this up, I don't know how you keep them out of the playoff, even without the championship game.
Yeah, if they're undefeated, no doubt they're in. And that's unfortunate for Utah because I think Utah's the better team. But I just don't see Baylor going and winning out. TCU is going to be pissed off and ready to get some revenge. I'm picking both of those teams to end this season with one loss.
All right, you heard it here first. Big 12 will miss out on the college football playoff once again. Hopefully that'll motivate them to put in a championship game because this is getting ridiculous.
They need two more teams.
They do need two more teams. Maddie, you ready for some sports madness?
I am absolutely ready for some sports madness.
Let's do it.
Sports madness.
For our first story, it's a piece that was written on NFL.com about the most watchable teams in the NFL. So which teams are the most entertaining to watch? You know, the top five. Number five, Buffalo Bills. I don't really get that. But four, Green Bay Packers. Three, Cincinnati Bengals. Two, Arizona Cardinals. Those are all really fun teams to watch. They score a lot of points. They play good defense. I get it. The number one team, Denver Broncos? This team cannot score on offense. How is this a fun team to watch?
You'd have to be a real sadistic person to enjoy watching Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos fall apart. That team is terrible on offense. I know their defense is solid, but who watches defenses?
Yeah, I've been watching defense for a lot of years because I'm a Jets fan. That's all we had. And I still don't enjoy it. So I don't understand how this guy likes it. I saw a stat the other day that the Broncos are averaging 1.5 offensive touchdowns every 60 minutes this season. When they had Tim Tebow at the helm, 2 touchdowns every 60 minutes. That's how bad this has gotten.
All right, so the next story is another New Orleans Saints coach going down with an injury. Joe Vitt broke his wrist and ruptured his Achilles tendon, chasing down a car thief at his home this weekend. I believe his neighbor's house was broken into, and then his car was also being stolen simultaneously, and Joe Vitt tried to chase after these guys, ended up falling down, breaking his wrist, rupturing his Achilles. What is it with New Orleans Saints coaches and having these ridiculous injuries with Sean Payton on crutches a few years ago?
Yeah, Sean Payton got rolled on the sideline. This kind of reminds me of the Nick Mangold story a few weeks ago where he helped catch like 5 car thieves that were responsible for like a dozen different robberies in the New Jersey area. The NFL, crime fighters, you don't hear enough of this. All you hear is bad things about them. I want more of this.
Give that man a medal.
Speaking of good things the NFL's doing, you don't necessarily expect to hear this from Marshawn Lynch.
Just here so I won't get fined.
No, not that. We hear that from him all the time. He's got his own Frappuccino coming out at the Starbucks chain. It's called Beast Mode Frappuccino. The proceeds of it are going to unprivileged kids. So that's a really good thing that he's doing and that the NFL is doing. Let me just tell you what's in this thing, Matt. How does this sound to you? It's a double mocha Frappuccino with a hint of mint, cream, protein powder, topped with whipped cream, and purple berry drizzle, and a sprinkle of matcha. No fucking clue what matcha is.
I don't know what that is. Steve, that sounds fucking terrible.
It does sound terrible. But I bet people in the Seattle area are going to buy it. The proceeds go to kids, like I said. And we know Marshawn likes it because this is a direct quote. When they asked him what he thought about the official recipe, he said,
I'm all about that.
You know what we do hear from Marshawn Lynch all the time?
What's that?
Marshawn Lynch getting into ridiculous situations with motor vehicles.
Here we go.
After practice on Monday, Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson were apparently drag racing out of the practice facility when Freddie crashed his car. Nobody was hurt. But this is classic Marshawn Lynch instigation written all over it.
You think that's why he was late for his DirecTV class with Drew Brees?
What are you talking about, Steve? He was there the whole time.
Bro, I've been here the whole time.
Marshawn Lynch is one of our favorites here at the show. And that'll do it for this week. Matt Yost, thank you so much for coming and filling in for Axelrod. We appreciate you being here. He's out watching the Cubs game right now, so hopefully he's having a good time.
Hey, go Cubbies. Nobody wants to see the Mets win a World Series.
The Mets aren't allowed to have nice things. Go find us on Twitter at The Sports Appeal. As always, we're produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio. Playing us out is going to be Greetings from Beyond by our studio band, Full Service.
Barely know it's just a pain. A shadow that is
think if there's one.
No thinking.
I think 3.5 points is.
No thinking.
I think Brady Hoke said it best.
No thinking.
I think you're putting a lot of.
No thinking.
I really feel like the Jets could win
no
this.
No feeling.
No feeling. I thought we couldn't think. I thought we could feel.
Hazard Audio.